This is a podcast from ABC Radio National. This program can be heard broadcast or streamed from ABC Radio National. Details of frequencies, times, and more downloads, abc.net.au/rn.
Hello, Ramona Koval with you on ABC Radio National. Now, when I say Jean-Paul Sartre, what's the next name you immediately think of? Simone de Beauvoir and Jean-Paul Sartre are two of the most celebrated intellectuals and lovers of the 20th century. And this week on Books and Writing, we're talking about a new biography of these two, the first that really focuses on their 50-year-long relationship. Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir were both born in the first decade of the 20th century. Sartre died in 1980, Beauvoir in 1986. He's most famously regarded as the founder of existentialism. She is the author of The Second Sex. But this famous French philosopher-writer couple have come in for a fair bit of criticism since their deaths. Existentialism is rather out of fashion nowadays. The women's movement has criticised Beauvoir for being too much in the thrall of Sartre, and both have copped posthumous flack since it's emerged that they told lies to their other lovers. Hazel Rowley is the author of Tête à Tête, The Lives and Loves of Simone de Beauvoir and Jean-Paul Sartre. Hazel Rowley grew up in England and Australia, and she now lives in America. She's previously written acclaimed biographies of the Australian novelist Christina Stead and the African-American author Richard Wright. But this one on Jean-Paul and Simone seems to be proving a bit too racy a read in some quarters, in America particularly, where reviewers have found these two and the nature of their relationship and relationships with others distasteful, even nauseating. So when I spoke with Hazel Rowley from a studio near her home in New York, I wondered if this was how she felt about them. After all, she says in Tête à Tête that Sartre and Beauvoir and their relationship exerted a powerful influence on her as she was growing into womanhood.
Well, I was that generation who really grew into womanhood in... I started university in 1969, right? Absolutely at the point that the women's movement was hitting the campuses. In Australia, absolutely as much as anywhere else, if not more so. And I was studying French at Adelaide University, and fairly early on I read Simone de Beauvoir. In fact, I had a rather good lecturer who talked about existentialism and political commitment and all this stuff. It inspired me hugely because I was pretty political. And their relationship just seemed so exciting, and by the way, still does to me in many ways. But the Adelaide, and indeed the Australia that was still around in the late 60s, it was the tail end of that period where you married fairly fast, and if you were a woman, you'd better be a virgin. And, you know, it was not an incredibly exciting prospect. And then along came the women's movement and we were questioning everything. And here was Simone de Beauvoir and Sartre, who had this relationship where they were really equal. And I still think they were really equal. And they travelled and they wrote books and they helped each other as writers and they read and they had lovers and they had friends. You know, it struck me as more exciting than what I was seeing around me.
So how easy was it to replicate?
Now you're getting personal. Well, not all that easy, but a good model.
Still a good model after all, you know, and perhaps we'll, I mean, I'll leave that question hanging because let's now talk about all you know about this relationship, which is the subject of this fabulous book. Let's talk about how they came to this relationship together. Let's talk about what sort of man he was and what sort of a woman she was. And let's talk about him first. He was a very precious little boy, wasn't he? And his mother's adored little boy.
Yes, that's true. But he was also, from a very early age, a sort of leader among his friends and a very exciting guy. Simone de Beauvoir talks about that, but so do others. I mean, memoirs galore in France talk about what it was like to talk to Jean-Paul Sartre and how he made you laugh and how he made these really complicated ideas seem so clear. You know, a lot of his students say that. He was a very exciting teacher. He was a teacher of philosophy for 10 years or so, and he'd sit there on the front desk in far more casual clothes than most French teachers wore, and he'd sort of sit on the desk swinging his little legs and making the students burst into laughter and relating philosophy to life. They loved it.
He was tiny, and he was not an attractive man, was he?
Yeah, you have to say that. I mean, it has to be said that he was ugly and he knew it. It was hard.
And let's talk about her then. I mean, she was a very clever girl from a family that had lost its money. And in fact, she's, you know, really thanked the universe for having come from such a family, because she wouldn't have perhaps got her education if they hadn't been
Well, that's
poor.
The thing, you know, when the reviewers all get stuck into Sartre and Beauvoir, like a lot of them are doing, to my dismay, they seem to forget, and I don't know why, because I make this very clear in my book, these two met in 1929. It was a time when women, to be married to a good bourgeois man, to get a good catch, you had to bring along a dowry. Can you imagine? This was France. This was Catholic France in 1929. And that's not even to talk about the fact that women couldn't vote, that Sartre was coming through the École Normale Supérieure, the most elite educational school in France, that Beauvoir, as a woman, did not have access to, that Simone de Beauvoir, until she was 19, had never stepped foot in a café in France because cafés sell alcohol and nice women didn't go into a café. And not to mention the double standard sexually, you know, where men sowed their wild oats, as it was called, and, you know, Sartre, like all his friends, went to brothels, went to prostitutes. Simone de Beauvoir was, of course, a good little virgin right up until the time she met Sartre. So that's the 1929, you know, context in which these two met, and in which Sartre said to Simone de Beauvoir, we're going to be equals. What I propose to you is that we have a relationship between equals. You do just what I do, and we tell each other everything. Well, you know, how many men say that to a woman, even today?
So they get together, and Sartre is, as you say, not an attractive man, but he has this demand, really. I mean, it's a prerequisite almost for his friendship, both with men and with women, that they have to be handsome. They have to be attractive.
Yes. Well, he said it somewhere very lucidly himself, that he said it's bad enough being one ugly person, but if you're two of you walking down the street, you really attract attention to yourselves. So he always liked to be with beautiful people. It's true.
Now,
Beauvoir was beautiful.
She was beautiful. But you say that he was not a good lover. I mean, is that according to her or according to everybody he made love to?
That's pretty much the word out there when I interviewed
the word on the street.
Well, you know, I interviewed a lot of his ex-girlfriends, Michel Vian and others, and yeah, they tell you that he wasn't the most exciting lover. And another thing which wasn't too exciting was that he practiced, you know, coitus interruptus as his form of birth control, which was neither very effective, nor was it very satisfying for the women he was with. One of them has said that she thought it was part of his sadism that he did that. I mean, he could have worn condoms and he didn't. No, Beauvoir said to Nelson Algren, her Chicago lover, the only place that Sartre is not really exciting is in bed.
So then what was the attraction to all these women? Because he always had women, often younger women, beautiful women. Is it simply the power of the most famous writer in France?
Well, I suppose that came into play later on, sure. You know, he really was the most famous figure in France for decades. No, but he worked on charm, you know, he worked on it hard. He said it was like literary exercise. You had to be very clever with words and with point of view and timing, the whole bit. But I think it was also his American lover, Dolores, actually she was a French woman, he met her in New York, and she commented how exciting he was to talk to. He listened to you, he made you feel important, he took you seriously, he took your ideas seriously, And he himself was sort of sparkling with wonderful ideas. I guess that's seductive.
It is. It sounds good, doesn't it?